Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
You have a whole bunch of school connectivity content coming up for the next few presentations. And the reason that I'm so excited to be here is that we've had a long collaboration with the Ethereum Foundation, with the community of builders here. And over the last 6 or 7 years, we've come to a place where we're able as a project to talk about some really exciting things in DeepIn. I just want to ask about my timer. I think the timer's off by a little bit. I wanted to show you this picture. This is a picture of school connectivity. This is a picture of school connectivity in Panama. Each dot is a school on here. The red dots are schools that are not connected to the internet. The green dots are schools that are connected to the internet. And this is the type of map and data that our project generates about the world. It's the first time that we've ever been able to see the world through the map of digital infrastructure. We have this map now for about 40 countries, and you're able to see in real time whether or not human beings are connected to the internet. And that's really important, and I'll tell you why it's important. About a third of people in the world have no internet connection at all. That means that they're not able, we just heard in the last presentation about the lack of nodes in Africa, for example. If you don't have internet, if you don't have access to gigabytes, you're not able to be part of the economy that we're all talking about over the last few days. And more than half of the world's schools particularly don't have this access. Our project is called GIGA. It's a collaboration between UNICEF and the International Telecommunications Union, and we focus specifically on making sure that schools are connected. We've been around for about 5 years. We've connected in the last 2 years about 12,000 schools. It's about 7 million kids. And we've helped to pull together about $1.7 billion in financing for school connectivity. In the countries that we're working in, we've helped to reduce the cost of connectivity by more than 50% and increase the speed of connectivity in schools because it's often very, very low where it even does exist. And interestingly, we've mapped about 2.1 million schools. Nobody in the world knows how many schools there are total. We think they're between 5 and 7 million, but there is no complete map. So when we do map schools in a country, we're often the first point of truth for a government because they don't have an exact number of their schools. And since we're working with connectivity, with trying to get people online and young people online and give them access to opportunity and choice, our unit of measure, our commodity is the gigabyte, which is interesting because it's one of the few commodities, assets that's fully digital from end to end. This is what I'm going to talk about in the next part of the presentation, which is that we can, if something is digital, because something is digital, we can talk about it in a very different way than when we're talking about physical assets, real-world assets. And we're very, very excited to be launching a new piece of GIGA, a new piece of our architecture in the next year, and that piece is our connectivity credits marketplace. I'll spend just a few minutes talking about what that means for us, but essentially it means wrapping the gigabyte in a way that we can start to create price transparency. If you look at the price for the gigabyte in Zimbabwe, for example, it's about 70 times the price of a gigabyte in Kenya. And that massive price disparity creates huge pockets of unfairness. It's not true just between countries, it's also true within countries. Poor people always end up paying more for the things that wealthy people either pay very little for or don't even think about at all. And so I'm going to just walk through what we're doing in the space of building a system to tokenize gigabytes. The exciting thing is that this platform is now up and running in its prototype stages in 4 different places, so I'll talk about that a little bit too. As we're going through this process of building, and our team is about 30 people working on the tech and engineering side in Barcelona, and another 40 people in Geneva, so it's a fairly sizable group working on GIGA, with a real focus of about 5 or 6 of us on this particular marketplace. So when you purchase connectivity for schools, when you purchase connectivity for health centers, we also work with governments for hospitals and health centers, we're working because the prime minister or the head of state or the minister of finance or education has asked us to be there and to help them create this connectivity. That allows us to have access on the buy side. And governments spend a lot of money doing this anyway. It's just often not very well spent. We also have a lot of sell side companies, the people who are actually providing that connectivity. These are mobile network operators, internet service providers, and others. And so what we've created as Giga is a way to connect the buyers and sellers of this commodity, this digital commodity. And we're doing this in various ways in various countries. But an example of that is that you have a government like Rwanda, one of our champion governments, and Herbin will be talking a little bit about the work we're doing there later, who is procuring gigabytes from a variety of different companies in Rwanda. We also have a set of sellers that are everything from a small ISP to large mobile network operators that are providing this. And because we have a privileged place through the United Nations, because we're part of UNICEF, we're able to negotiate on behalf of the government for aggregated purchasing of gigabytes of this commodity and kind of create that market. The second part, after you've kind of identified what the need is to figure out what the commodity is itself. Because of this map, which I described at the beginning, and we've built the open source stack to find schools from outer space, so we use high resolution satellite imagery. We've built our own ML on top of that to figure out what a school building is. We're able to tell you in real time if the school is connected based on both some appliance stuff that we've built and things that we can install behind the router in the school, as well as connecting with network operators through their APIs and other kind of larger systems. We're able to actually talk about a gigabyte in situ as it's being used and see whether or not a school is connected. You can imagine already we're working with governments to, when a school turns green, to issue payment automatically. If it turns red, you issue a warning. That's a sort of smart contract-based underlayer that we've built as well. But we can start to do things with this digital asset. And if you grab the QR code, you can go and search and look on the map. You can see all of the countries that we're in. You can try to find the school that you went to. It should be there if it's in one of the 34 countries that we've already started working in. And if you want to tokenize a commodity, you also have to think about that market cycle, where the commodity sits in it. We stole this from the carbon credits market. Carbon credits sort of work. They don't work all the way, but they give you an idea of how you can create a sort of recirculation. One of the reasons carbon credits don't work that well is it's very hard to figure out where they're being used and where they're being, you know, where trees are absorbing carbon. The asset itself, the metric ton equivalent of metric carbon equivalent, is not a real thing. It's a kind of synthetic thing that we've created. But with a gigabyte, we can actually talk about the asset, and we can do this whole cycle, which goes from somebody saying they want to do something, they want to give gigabytes out or deploy gigabytes, to somebody purchasing that, and we can watch that whole cycle happen through the marketplace. So it's a sort of second step, is figuring out how to tokenize the thing. The third part of building a marketplace is actually building the tooling itself. And so we're pretty excited that we are setting this up right now in Geneva. We picked Geneva for a variety of reasons, but it has allowed us to really be based in this very structured, very regulated system that is respected around the world for certification. So we know that if you want to certify a farm for pulling carbon in from the air, you need to go through a certain process. Same thing for a gigabyte. You need to know that a school has been connected, a health center has been connected, and somebody needs to stamp that. In our system, we have the United Nations and all of our partner governments who are able to provide that certification. We're also building this in various countries with their own national credit systems. If you work with connectivity at all, you've heard of something called a Universal Service Fund or Universal Access Fund. Those are ways that governments already pay for school connectivity in poor areas. They just don't work very well because they're sort of black boxes and you can't see inside to what's been done, whether the money that gets taxed from network operators actually goes and gets deployed or not. We also have this marketplace that we're starting to launch. We've actually just sold, a few weeks ago, we sold our first credits, which is very exciting. It's a very small amount of credits in one country, but we're starting to see buyers work with us sort of offline right now, but it's beginning. And then we're looking at what the protocol and the governance can be for all of that. The other thing you have to do if you're building a marketplace is you also have to figure out who's going to take part of it. We've identified in this whole system a set of actors. That's everything from the government ministries who are already buying connectivity for their schools and health centers, to the sellers, the ISPs, new ISPs or network operators coming in, groups like Starlink, to old ones, the incumbent operators, as well as investors who would want to be part of a kind of marketplace environment. And we've already started stacking these up in four countries. five countries, which is really exciting. So in each of these countries, we're building a small prototype of this marketplace, which is really a one-to-one relationship between a seller and a buyer in that country for school connectivity. And what we're saying is essentially this. If you are somebody who's going to connect schools, you're a small ISP, internet service provider, or network operator, and you want to connect those schools all the way over there, but they're really far away, it's expensive, and you don't maybe have the money to outlay the capital at first, we'll give you a credit for connecting the school. And the further away it is, the more credits you're going to get. It's up in a mountain, more credits, there's no electricity, more credits, and so on. So you, as a small ISP, can go and do all of that hard work, knowing that you're at some point going to get repaid. At the same time, we go to the government, we go to the Minister of Finance, others in the government, and we say, if we bring you these credits at the end of the year, and if a company brings them to you, you will go and give that company a tax break. You'll reduce their corporate tax, you'll give them some kind of incentive for doing that. And the government says, okay. And so between those two, we create a system where we're able to fairly mark that the commodity has been delivered even before all of the work has been done. And the service provider knows that by the time they connect that school or that health center that's so far away that nobody wants to connect it, they'll actually get paid back. So we put up here just a few of the different use cases that we have for and sort of those pairing of users that we're building for in different countries. Some of them use the Universal Service Fund as the backing. Some of them use corporate tax exemptions. And some of them use things that are already in place, like National Fiber, as the asset that gets paid off. So for example, you could say, if you connect those schools far away, your credit will buy you access, will buy you free access to the National Fiber backbone or a place on somebody's cell tower or their mast. And this is pretty exciting. So these four or five pilots are getting instantiated now, built out now. We're going to learn over the next year what works and what doesn't. And then we get to start to bring in a much larger group of players. Because a marketplace doesn't work with just one buyer and one seller. That's not a very good market. The idea is that these credits can really become digital infrastructure credits. They can become used by anybody who wants to start to connect new communities. We just heard about node bias against poor places. If you have an interest in connecting something, in getting it on the network, in creating a node in any sense, whether it's a data center or if you're trying to do edge AI, or if you're trying to put an Ethereum node up, you need to have connectivity. And so we can start to create a dynamic in that which rewards people for connecting and allows for the things, the people that need to be connected cheaper. And I just want to I'll tell you a quick story about why that's so important. So this is a school in Kenya. This is a school in a place called Noonkapir, which is actually, it's only about 15 kilometers. That's not quite that far from Nairobi. It's a school that we helped to connect. We helped the Kenyan government connect it last year. So this is the school. If you're looking at this, if the school is in back of you and you look across the road, there are power cables, there's fiber somewhere a little bit over there. But it was never connected to the internet. It was never connected to electricity. And one of the reasons schools often in warm places and sunny places aren't connected to electricity is that you don't need it because you're in school during the day when the sun is out and you just have the windows open. And it was never a thing before. But with this ability of ours to work with the government, we were able to help the government locate this school, create the financing for it, and do something pretty incredible. So there is a server there. It has the Giga logo on it. It also has Liquid Telecom's logo on it. Liquid is one of those infrastructure providers who I mentioned. And in order for them to connect this school, they needed to borrow space on somebody else's cell tower. And they were able to do an internal swap of resources with that other service provider, the ones who made the cell tower, so Liquid could put up their long-distance Wi-Fi radio on the tower. And that's a version of connectivity credits that happens sort of organically. In the school itself, and we see this across the world as we're connecting schools, attendance goes up once you start connecting. Because if you're in a school, if you're a 14-year-old in a school and you're learning nothing, and the teacher, as is the case in many countries, the teacher can't even really read a paragraph of a text in the language of instruction well, you know that you're being ripped off. You know that your time is being used unfairly, and you are angry. So you know you shouldn't be there. As soon as there's connectivity, you're able to do something. You're able to borrow somebody's phone, do something a little bit on it, and you know there's a potential for a future. We've also seen school results increase by, this school is about 10%, even without the full digital curriculum being put in place. And we don't do anything inside the school. So Giga does not do any of the work with ed tech or teacher training. That's all other parts of UNICEF that do that. They're experts who do that type of work. But we just bring the kind of connectivity in. And the last thing that's really interesting in this story is that this is the main teacher. Her name is Paris. She said that she's able to save about 4 hours a month because she doesn't have to go to an internet cafe to enter in the grades and the attendance and all that kind of stuff that she had to do before there was connectivity in her school. And so that's all important. That's why we're doing this work. From a technical point of view, the ability to tokenize gigabytes proves a few things that tokenizing other traditional real-world assets doesn't, I think. One is that we can talk about standards because in this particular case, unlike carbon credits, it's very easy. There's one agency that does internet. It's the International Telecommunications Union. There's another that looks at school connectivity. That's UNICEF. So together, there's really only two groups that do the standard setting for it. Often real-world assets, it's hard to figure out like the user interest of the real-world asset itself. You know, there are a few of us who want to buy a very small percentage of a physical painting and think that's important, or a part of an apartment building. In general, that hasn't hit retail yet, but a gigabyte is broken down into a megabyte and broken down to a kilobyte. Those things already kind of work. And you can validate this stuff in real time. You can see it on the map that I showed all of you. So you can see whether or not this asset is moving, which is nice for an investor, somebody who's looking at getting their infrastructure built out. And that ability to see things in real time is pretty important. And finally, as I said earlier in the presentation, having this backing from the Swiss government is very, very helpful. So we're hosted by the government of Spain, Catalonia, and Barcelona to build our technology, and by the government of Switzerland and the Canton of Geneva to set up this particular piece of work, the connectivity credits marketplace. We've been having the meetings that we need with all the regulators and legal folks, and Switzerland is very, very good at structuring regulation, which is why there's so many folks in Zug already. We believe that Geneva has a unique place as a center of international commerce in Switzerland as well, and so it's really a delight to be there. I wanted to leave a few minutes for questions. Before that, I would just say there are a variety of ways for this community to be involved. One of them, obviously, is just being a contributor to the different repositories that we have. We are delighted to be working with the open source community and on a variety of levels. The second is that as we talk about impact and impact tokens and others who are doing that type of work, they find this layer that we're building something that they can build on top of. So people working on environmental tokens can use schools as monitoring hubs and so on. The third is, you may know folks in countries who want to be part of this. There may be infrastructure providers that you work with who are interested in being part of this, or there may be governments who would like to experiment with a new way to connect their populations. So really delighted to have spent that time sharing this project with you. Harbin's going to talk a little bit more about how we've been working with the Ethereum community on staking in a little bit, but we have a few minutes for questions as well. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon.
We have 3 minutes left for questions for this one. I see one hand over there. Oh, that's a long distance for me. You want to do it?
I hit somebody in the head with one of these boxes once, and it was really, I don't know if you want me to throw it. Okay, do it.
Okay.
I'll throw the microphone.
That gentleman over there in the back, yeah. Wow, you're so good.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction. So I think digital marketplace, it works when we don't know who will be the seller and buyer, and marketplace works as an interface between the seller and buyer. But in this case, I think you already know who will be the buyer. Buyer will be the government and seller will be the telecom companies. But do you have any other reason that you're introducing the marketplace here?
It's a great question. So if I just want to sell my goats to you, we can start off that way. And at least we know that the goat is worth something, right? And before I sell you my first goat and you give me the money, we have no idea that the goat is actually worth anything. But after that, we've established that there is some transaction. We're at that stage now. So we want to just see and know that this commodity can be moved digitally, because right now the way it's accounted for is terrible. But the idea is to open that up and to have a lot of different goats and a lot of different buyers in the next phase. It's just, you can't start by building that unless we at least price out the goat and know that that first transaction can work. And so that is the government and the ISP. But later on, it becomes the people around the ISP, the folks doing data centers, all of that, who can be on the buy and on the sell side, probably.
Sorry, but we're on a super tight schedule. And that's it for our question for this session. The next sharing will also be about Giga. So after the two sharing, maybe you can gather your questions together and then go to Chris over there. Let's give Chris another round of applause. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.